Hey, Reggie, how you doing, my friend? What's going on, pal?
Are we all ready to do
the deed? No, not that deed. No. The project at hand, put it that way. Oh, you can even... All right. Are we ready to do the podcast? Let's forget all the... Let's just get down to it. Are we ready to do the podcast? Good. Okay. I got something stuck in my tooth, but there we go. Thank God this is all edited out and no one ever hears this. Okay, my friend, are we ready to go? I am. Cool. Put it in the books. Episode 444, pair of four, or no, four of a kind. No, what am I talking about? Three fours. Wow. Three fours. There you go. Three of a kind. Episode 444, put it down in the book. Star, smile, strong. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcasts. We are there. Where else would we be? We should be not only one of your favorite podcasts, if not your only favorite podcast, but we should be the favorite podcast of all your friends and all your family. So get on the line, send them an email, send them a text, send them a smoke signal, whatever you do to communicate, let them know that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. And of course, if you like what you hear, you can always go to WGNRadio.com. Any time of the night or day, or early evening or early morning, any of those 24 hours that we have at our disposal, go to the podcast section, hit the prompt for this podcast, and help fill in some of those hours with some solid podcasting entertainment. Just scroll down and load more. Lots of them in there. What the heck? This is episode 444. Three of a kind. 444. Wow, next time is 445. We love those numbers with fives and zeros at the end. 445, meaning we only have 55 podcasts left until the magic number of 500, which would mean... When we get to like episode, 52 to go, we get to 448, then we will have exactly a year till the 500th episode. Woo! So here we are in Thanksgiving week, sadly, in many ways, the speed bump holiday. It's really come to be known. Thanksgiving always took something of a back seat to Christmas because it was the day after Christmas, which initially, not anymore, but initially and officially, if you will, ushered in the official Christmas season. After Thanksgiving, back in a time when we had a lot more patience, when we weren't such a high-flying, short attention span culture, we actually could wait for things. We can't wait for things anymore. We don't wait. We move on. And I'm the last guy that should say that. I'm a product of my times to some extent. For instance, I believe I've said it. If not, I'm going to say it now. A lot of times when I read a book, especially a mystery book,
which this sounds very contradictory, but in fact, when I read a mystery book, especially, I will read the last chapter. I will read the last chapter before I start to read the book in order to find out what happened and who did it. And then I will go and read the book and see how they got to that part. I am as impatient as anyone else. I'm not putting myself up above anyone. I'm saying I'm a product of this generation and generations over the last 40, 50 years or so. No question. Now I don't know if people do that, go to that extent of what I do, but I do that. I like to know the ending. Let's get to it. And as I said many times, I think I'm a big fan of Columbo, the TV show Columbo, the murder mystery show Columbo. And that's what made that series interesting, was that it wasn't a murder mystery to figure out who did it. What the creators of that did, which I thought was a cool idea, and it fed right into and perhaps influenced my, because I've watched that since I was a little kid, so maybe it influenced me. But instead of the usual murder mystery of setting up the murder and then setting up all the possible suspects and each one having some possible connection and putting some mystery of possible guilt on all the possible suspects, so this way you don't know who done it. And then, of course, the final chapter or so, or the last 10, 15 minutes of a program, whatever it is the big reveal. And that was usually the format of the murder mystery, any kind of Agatha Christie murder mystery, any kind of Sherlock Holmes mystery of a crime or a murder. It that was sort of the way that it was done on television shows. You didn't find out who the murderer was until the end. That's how you built suspense and kept people going. What was interesting about Columbo was that they showed you the murder and the murderer at the beginning. And then what was interesting, and it took the entire genre and flipped it on its head, was then the goal was, how does Columbo figure it out? We are seeing at the beginning of the Columbo episode what would seem to be the perfect murder. We see the murderer meticulously committing the crime and making sure that all, at least expected, clues would not point to him or her. And then it was the goal of Columbo, the detective, the rumpled detective, if you will, to then figure it out. And we watch to see, we've already known what happened, and now we want to see how he figures out what happened. What little clues, what is he picking up that steers him in the way? And of course, he always gets the person at the end. But that's what made it so interesting. It was kind of an inverted detective story, and that was kind of cool. It was very different. And Richard Levinson and William Link came up with Columbo. So maybe that's where I get that from. I want to see the ending first. but maybe that's just me. I don't know. But that's how I am. Now, I'm really not remembering how the heck I got on this subject matter of liking to go to the end of the book first. But I will try to make my way back to my, oh yes, the speed bump. Yes, 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 yes. The speed bump holiday. We can't wait. There we go. That's how we got it. Okay. See, I always come back. We're not patient anymore. And as I said, I'm certainly guilty of that. And Columbo was the perfect show if you weren't patient. You found out who the murderer was in the first 2 minutes. But as I said, so Thanksgiving has always taken a back seat, sort of gotten the short end of the stick, because Christmas is the big holiday. And so, sadly, Thanksgiving became kind of the speed bump holiday, as I like to call it. We couldn't wait for it to be done, because that meant that Christmas could officially start. If you watch the Macy's Day Parade every Thanksgiving, it ends with what? The final float, the big buildup of the Thanksgiving Day Parade is what? The arrival of Santa with his sleigh and his reindeer. Now, obviously, you have to remember who sponsors the Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's Macy's Department Store. So Macy's had a little skin in the game to make sure that we were reminded of Christmas, because now, back then when the parade started, it was like, okay, now, folks, you can get started to do your Christmas shopping. Of course, now the whole idea of Christmas shopping the day after Thanksgiving is a memory. It's a Christmas memory. Even the whole Black Friday phenomena. I mean, first of all, it was the day after then Thanksgiving, which most people get the day off, and so it became as I said, the official day for Christmas shopping. It became Black Friday. And back in the 90s and the early 2000s, this became a phenomenon. It was an event. It was a bonding experience for friends and family to get up at 2 a.m. And many of the stores would have these incredible only first day sales. And so people would get up and go up at 2 a.m. and wait outside until the store opened at 6 or 5. And it became this kind of, as I said, this kind of holiday tradition bonding thing. Of course, always centered around buying things, capitalism. We're still a capitalist country, as much as we try to deny it sometimes. And then COVID threw everything into question, and stores weren't open. The idea of standing in line next to people breathing germs during a pandemic certainly wasn't a wise thing to do. So suddenly that was done. That was finished, at least for a couple of years. And as I've said many times, it doesn't take people to find new routines that certainly at one time become odd and the next thing become new routines. And the idea of shopping online was really cemented into the behavior of at least American consumers during COVID. And so now, I'm already seeing, 3 weeks ago, I was seeing ads on television or online for Black Friday sales. And Black Friday traditionally is the day after Thanksgiving. So the whole thing has been diluted. It's now a marketing term, and it doesn't even really hold the same kind of meaning that it used to. This Friday, day after Thanksgiving, the formerly official opening of the Christmas season, but that's all gone because we can't wait anymore. I'm surprised they don't have Black Friday sales in July for Christmas. I mean, why not? What's the difference? So a lot of that has gone by the wayside, and there's some people that are younger people that don't even know what you're talking about, or they certainly don't know the history of the Black Friday sale or even that term. I bet you people in their teens probably don't even understand what you're talking about, because that whole phenomenon of getting up early in the morning and going and waiting outside, and where would you wait? Like, what stores would you wait for anymore? Not only have we moved to an online shopping experience that dominates the business and the retail world, but I don't even know where you would go traditionally in the 80s and 90s and early to mid 2000s when they had all this Black Friday frenzy sales. It was mostly at department stores or specialty big box stores that were electronics based. It was always the televisions or the phones or the video games. It was always electronics that were steeply discounted, and that people were like, whoa, I can get a television for $300. Or it was so. But nowadays, we don't even really have big department stores. Yeah, there's still Targets and Walmarts and things like that. But, you know, you just don't, there's not the same frenzy. Everybody's like, you know what? I can get the same prices online. I don't need to get up at 3 a.m. in the cold and wait outside in the line. So we've lost. I mean, I never did that, but I know a lot of people enjoyed it. It was another chance for people to bond with their family or their friends. And then out of necessity, it was gone. And then we just got used to not doing it. So, yeah, I mean, Thanksgiving, sadly, and now Thanksgiving has even lost whatever luster it may have had because of the growth in the popularity of Halloween. So poor Thanksgiving now is sandwiched between Halloween at the end of October and Christmas at the end of December. It's right there in the middle. And the Christmas season is starting earlier and earlier than ever. In fact, hey, once again, I'm guilty of it. As I said, I'm just pointing stuff out. I'm not condemning anything. I had all my Christmas decorations in the house up by November 13th. November 13th, early. That was the earliest I've ever put them up. And it usually takes me 2 to 3 days to do it because I have so much stuff. And so I started like on the 11th. And everything finally got done. I'm not here to denounce all this. I'm a product of the times. I was like, you know what? What are we waiting for? I know I'm going to put them up. So whether I put them up this week or next week, I used to put them up the week of Thanksgiving, and then over the last 2 or 3 years, I started to do it the week before the week of Thanksgiving, and now I'm doing it 2 weeks before the week of Thanksgiving. I don't know. Maybe next year I'm going to do it the day after Halloween in 2025. I don't know. Heck, I might leave it up all year. Why bother? Well, I'm taking it all down. It takes 3 days to put it up. It takes 2.5 pretty much to take it down. Just leave it. What's the difference? It's cool. I like it. I love the being surrounded by Santas and snowmen. So why not leave it up anyway? I don't have all that much company coming over. I would like to try that. You know, I'm very tempted this year to see if I could actually get away with that. Let's see. I don't know. That would be an interesting experiment. I know people talk about leaving up their Christmas trees all year, and they decorate them with different decorations for the different holidays or the seasons or events that happen, 4th of July, things like that. I understand that. I've seen people do that. I think it's pretty cool. But I've never seen anybody, except if they work in a Christmas store, leave up all the decorations in their homes all year. Wow. Could I do that? I don't know. I might be able to. I might take the tree down. I might take the tree down because that's so symbolic. And this way you do have something to kind of, look forward to decorate the tree. Maybe I'll take the tree down because this way it can open, because, you know, it's in front of the window and you can't really open the window. And I don't really want people to know what's going on here. I got the right Christmas stuff. Well, you know, if they come in, obviously, but I don't want the outside world to know what kind of a crazy person I am. but I don't know. I mean, you know, we don't have any kids. Nobody's bothering. It's just my wife and I. We don't have all that much company that comes over. If they do, they go, oh, this is interesting. Another weird thing you two do. It wouldn't really be out of character. Put a pin in that. I'll get back to you on whether I'm going to decide to do that or not. But that's not the point of my podcast today. But it's certainly about Christmas. So I am big into Christmas, big into decorating, and way big into Santa. And I've talked about this many, many times. I've got a Santa coat. I've got many Santa hats. I've got many, many Santa dolls and ornaments. I mean, in the hundreds, if I added them all up between the ornaments and the dolls, I'm sure it's close to 100, if not more, really. Love Santa, always did, always was mesmerized by the magic and the mystery of Santa. I've told many of my Santa stories growing up, the pictures going down to Carson, Peary Scott, or Marshall Fields, and getting a picture with Santa at the department store, and writing my lists and all that. I think, like most kids, I grew out of that initially, of the lists and all that stuff, you know, around second or third grade. But I've always been, I just always loved the Santa idea and the look. Love the red coat and the red hat. Love the Santa hat. Always wear the Santa hat around the holidays, out and about. Just enjoy it and have lots. So all of our decorations in the house. My wife likes snowmen. I like Santas. And so our house is pretty much red and white in every room you go. Lots of Santas. As I said, I've got many, many, many. I think we've counted them. I don't remember how many ornaments we have. But there's, you know, our tree looks like it's ornaments, and every so often you see maybe a branch. It's mostly ornaments. It's jam-packed, and it's mostly Santa and or Santa-related kind of ornaments. And, you know, let's face it, the you know, there's a couple of well-known ornament makers, right? The Radco, those kind of silvery, flashy, bubbly kind of ornaments that are shiny and kind of, I don't know if they're hand blown or not, but you know, those are the Christopher Radcos, and then obviously, you know, Hallmark cards with their keepsake ornaments. You know, they pretty much have the lock on the ornament business. And they put out their new line of ornaments in July. You can go see the premiere of their new ornaments in July. That's how far ahead they, you know, start to get people thinking about the Christmas season. And so, as I said, we put up our Christmas decorations even earlier this year. And the Christmas spirit, the Christmas decorations, we were seeing Christmas-related commercials on television in late October, and certainly now throughout November, no question about that, and many specialty stores or companies that deal in Christmas things. You know, November and obviously December, but even November are their main times, because that's when people are going out and buying things in advance of the Christmas season. Because, you know, that month of December flies by. All of a sudden you turn around and it's Christmas time. So yes, there's no question that the commercialization of Christmas, and that's a whole other story. But my point is, Christmas is becoming, you know, is more present in our society. The run-up to it is earlier and earlier and earlier, and poor Thanksgiving now is basically, as I said, a speed bump. It's a necessary evil, if you will, that we have to just get through that, and then it's clear, then all the decks are cleared. You know, first there's Halloween, then there's Thanksgiving, and then once those are done, all decks are cleared. It's Santa in the front windshield. There's no question. It's right there. Christmas is coming. And so, as I said, being a great fan of jolly old Saint Nick, you know, when the new year comes, when the new well, not so much the new year, but the new season starts. And when these new ornaments come out, like I said, Hallmark makes a big deal about the new line is now announced. And they even have like a club where you can join. We've been members of it for a couple of, we stopped becoming a member now, but we initially were members for several years, and you would get this special ornament, and then you had the ability to get this new Santa, you know, the new every year different Santa. But I mean, you know, once again, way into Santa, got some great cool stuff. My favorite, well, just as a reminder, if you can look it up, just to look at them, but back in the late 90s and early 2000s, Saks Fifth Avenue, it's always a retailer, right? Marshall Fields stores, Saks Fifth Avenue stores, Macy's, they always attach themselves to holidays because that's their bread and butter. And ironically, and I'll talk about this here, but you know, we have, for whatever reason, we have Coca-Cola to thank in many ways for the popularity of Santa Claus. And I'll get into that. But way, way big into Santa. But Saks Fifth Avenue, in the late 90s and early 2000s, they embraced a Santa illustration that was the lead in a story called Santa Calls that came out in the 90s. And it was a cool Santa. It was the Santa, you know, had obviously the trademark characteristics, but it also he wasn't wearing the big fluffy coat. He had a red suit with a red vest. It was like this elegant Santa, and I think that's when they saw that, they probably said, hey, that's kind of the Santa that we want to represent our, you know, Saks Fifth Avenue is kind of an upscale store, and this was kind of an upscale looking Santa. He had all the accoutrements of Santa, but he didn't. It wasn't the usual, big, fluffy, white, trimmed coat and pants. This was a fine. He was still chubby. Got to have a chubby Santa, right? But he was more finely tailored. He looked like he was a little more classy, you know. And I just loved that Santa. And he was their Santa for a good long time. They had a lot of special every year. They did different products that showcased the Santa Calls version of Santa. That was the name of the book. Cookie jars and decorative plates and you name it. The bags they used to, you know, the Christmas bags that they would give you if you bought something had him on there. They really branded that Santa, and I love that Santa, still do. It's my favorite Santa, and have quite a few of these things, the jars and little globes and you name it. So when the season starts every year, I'm like, okay, what new Santas are out there? I have many of the original Santa dolls I had as a little kid. I mean, these things get to be over 50 years old now. And still have them. Thank God my mom saved them. I cursed the pat rack that she was, but I also feel so blessed of the pat rack that she was. Not because she kept so many cool things from my early childhood. That I cherish today, and other people would have thrown them out, but she didn't, and they're still around. And so every time I see those, I just say thank you, Mom, because that's what the holidays are all about, right? It's all about traditions and memories. So anyway, when the Christmas season starts to bubble up here, as I said, I've gone to Hallmark stores in July and August or September to see the new line. Hey, what new, are there any cool Santas? Any cool Santa dolls? Are there any cool Santa ornaments? What are we going to do? I mean, believe me, we're at the time and the age and the amount that I've definitely seriously cut down on my Santa purchases every year because there's really no place else to put anything anymore. And that's not even an exaggeration. But even though I say that, there's always at least one or two a year that I go, oh, is that cool? Ooh, yeah, I think we're going to have to get that. I know there's nowhere to put it, but we'll find somewhere to put it, you know. But I have to say, I have certainly cut down on all this collecting, which I've done for a great part of my life, just because, you know, the older you get, reality starts to set in and you say, what am I going to do with all this stuff? You know, especially I don't have any kids to leave it to. And who's to say that they would like it anyway? Who knows? So we've certainly over the last, I would even say 5 to 6, 7, almost 10 years, we've kind of started to just, you know, put a little clamp down. Still bought a few little things, but not like we used to. I have no less enthusiasm for Christmas, and no less, as I said, I decorate the house. I mean, it takes 3 days to do it, probably 6-7 hours at a shot. So it's, as one of a friend of mine who comes over every year and looks at it and says, gives a sigh and says, wow, this is quite a commitment. Which I thought was a very interesting and unique perspective. When you're surrounded by all this Christmas cheer, to put it down to, wow, that's quite a commitment. But it is. So I still have a childlike love for Christmas and a childlike love for Santa, but I've also injected a little maturity into the situation as time goes on. But here's the thing. So my wife and I go out, and we go to different stores to take a look around what's going on. What's the new Santas, especially? New ornaments, new Santas. And inevitably, even though we say we're not going to get anything, we usually buy at least one because there's one that just goes, yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And there's several there. And so I'm not buying them all. I'm showing some restraint. But at the same time, if one really catches my eye, I'm still giving into the temptation. But here's my question looking into Christmas of 2024. Now, granted, it's still somewhat early, right? I mean, it's still not even Christmas. But as I said, we're starting to see, we've been seeing Christmas-related things popping up most of this month. You're starting to see more Christmas commercials on television for different things and, you know, and all that. So I get it. And I'm looking around and I went, you know, we went to the Hallmark store and I'm like, okay, you know, before I walked in, I'm like, all right, now remember, restraint, willpower, you're walking in to a snake pit here. I mean, these specialty stores with all the Christmas stuff and all the Santas, they are here to tempt you. They are here to tempt you. They have Santas from everywhere, all over the country, all over the world, all different types, nutcrackers, stuffed animals, ornaments, you know, stuffed figures, porcelain things, figurines. You know, they're there. They know this is the time of year where you go, oh, I shouldn't. I'm gonna. You know, big temptation. You know, this is the Super Bowl for retail stores, right? So they're not even pretending that it isn't. They pull out all the stops. They pull out most of these specialty stores and these Christmas stores and things like that. You think my house looks jam-packed with stuff, even though you've never seen it. But my point is, I'm telling you, it's jam-packed. But when you walk into some of these specialty stores at Christmas time, I mean, there is literally not a spot. It's hard to walk in some of them. They are every available piece of landscape where you could put some kind of Christmas-related item on a shelf, in an aisle, in a corner, is there. This is This is Santa's big scene, if you will. And this is their big scene. So, yeah, as I'm ready to walk into some of these stores, I have to take a deep breath. There is a, I don't know if you know this, just a little, you know, listening to this podcast, you know, I'm always trying to pass along little tidbits. There is a calming exercise that you can do to help relieve stress, maybe, you know, bring your heart rate down if you're feeling a little anxiety or stressed or nerves or whatever. It's very simple to do. I use it every so often, and it does seem to at least calm me. May I pass along this ode? Honeymooner fans will hopefully get that reference. When the tides of life are against you. No. So, may I favor you with this ode? Oh, and I gotta love the Honeymooners Christmas special. But anyway, so it's called the 478. 478. Okay? It's kind of easy to remember if you just keep saying over 478, 478, 478. And the whole idea is to just kind of relax yourself. So, what you do, I didn't do this specifically, but I do have to kind of, before I walk into a Christmas store around Christmas, during the Christmas season, I have to like, okay, just remember now, they're there to tempt you. There's going to be a lot of Santas in there, and they're all going to be saying, oh, 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 take me home, oh, 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 and you have to say, oh, I don't know, sorry, Santa. It's hard to say no to Santa. I'm sorry, Santa. I can't take you home. But here's the 478 stress reliever. Help you if you're stressed out, if you're a little nervous, if your heart's a little a thumping, if you will. You breathe in to the count of four. Right? So one, two, three, four. Then you hold it for seven counts. So you breathe in to four. One, two, three, four. Okay. So you breathe in to the count of four. Then you hold it for 7 seconds. So now you've breathed in for 4 seconds. At four, you stop breathing, and now you hold your breath for a seven count. One, two, three, four, five. Six, seven, and then you exhale that breath that you've been holding for the seven count for 8 seconds. Exhaling that for 8 seconds, all right? You breathe in for four and stop, hold it for seven, and then go one, two, three. And do that four times, that same routine. Breathe in four, hold it for seven, breathe out for eight. And do that four times, and you'll find that you've at least either distracted your mind or you've at least gotten a little sense of whether it's even temporary, momentary, kind of anxiety or stress release. It could help. It could help you. It's just a thought. But anyway, I do have to, when I'm walking into the store, I have to remind myself, now, you're going into, you know, a Santa Claus bordello here. I mean, a lot of temptation. So, just be aware of what you're doing, and your goal here is to walk out without anything. I mean, it's an odd thing. Why am I going to the store? See, this is my crazy head. Then, I mean, the logical question, which I'm assuming you're saying to yourself right now, is, Jim, then why are you going to the store? I mean, just don't go. And you've eliminated the temptation, and you won't get any new Santas this year. I mean, believe me, I get it. There's a real simple way to do this. But, you know, we're all human, and we all have faults, and we all fall in temptation. It's easy to say, well, you know, it's easy to lose 100 pounds, just stop eating. Well, yeah, I know, but, ooh, boy, does that look good, right? Same thing here. So, yeah, I'm deliberately putting myself in a situation of great temptation. It's completely nonsensical. It's completely illogical. It's completely contradictory. As I said, what kind of logic is it to say, I'm going to a store and my goal is to walk out of the store with having bought nothing? Well, the logical extension of that is don't go to the store and you have no chance of buying anything. You have no chance of falling into the temptation. As I've said many times, it looks good or sounds good on paper, but it ain't easy to do in real life. Because there's a part of me, even though 99.9% of me says you should not be buying any more Santas because there's no place to put them, that one hundredth of a percent is enough to get me to go to the store because, oh my God, what if there's a real cool Santa there? And a lot of times, you know, these Santas, they don't hang around. You know, they're once a year and then they're gone. Which is another smart marketing tool to suck us in. Better get it now if you want it, because they ain't going to be here next year. Now, yes, there's always a secondary market now on eBay. I get it. And I've certainly gone to the secondary market when I've decided not to do it. And all of a sudden go, Jesus, why didn't I buy that? And I will find it. So I get it. I probably pay twice as much as I should. But once again, this is my point. This is not logical. Don't look for logic here in my Santa scenarios. It doesn't exist. I'm just sharing it with you, but don't look at it from a logical standpoint. There's no logic, because at the end of the day, I love Santa. So yeah, if there is a Santa there, as much as I have preconditioned myself to not be tempted by, and I'm not going to go in and buy anything. Oh yeah, but look at this. And I have to say, as much as hesitant as I am to go into these stores and look at this stuff, because I say I've got enough Santas, when I buy a Santa, I never have had buyer's remorse. There have been some things that I have wavered on, and I have been like, and then I wind up buying it, and I never have true buyer's remorse. But after a while, I say, well, there really wasn't that. I shouldn't have really bought that. I got sucked into the moment and everything like that. And once again, it's part of being human. But I have to say that when I look around the house and all the different Santas, all the ornaments, all the stuffed animals, all the figurines, all the everythings that are Santa or Santa related, I have no buyer's remorse. I'm like, I'm so glad we have him. And so I every year I open myself up to this internal struggle and this betrayal, because I am at a point where, as I said, in my life here, where it's like, okay, you know, you've got so much Santa stuff here. The house is literally every corner, every available spot is taken up with a Christmas decoration, and mostly of them Santas. So what do you need? But then there's some version or some doll or some figurine with, it's just the design is unique or the face is unique, or I don't know what it is. I can't even tell you sometimes. It's like, oh my God. Okay. Got to find room for that. So I walk into the store as this year in 2024. This year, as I do every year, and I've been doing for most of my life, certainly most of my adult life. And I'm looking around in the store. And this store, we bought plenty of stuff from this store. I would say that this store that I'm talking about has been our main temptress. Our main Santa temptress. I mean, we have gotten many of our Santa dolls and figurines and things like that from this store. We always walk out with something. We always walk in, at least I walk in, saying I'm not getting anything, and always walk out with something. So once again, I'm going right to, you know, the source. It's not like, you know, to get, you know, what I should do if I have this, you know, this insatiable desire for something Santa, I should go to a place that I know won't have anything good. So then I'll walk around and go, they don't have anything, and boom, I'll walk out of there and feel good about myself. No. What do I do? I go to the place that I know is going to have some cool Santas because they've had them in the past and they're all in my house. So I've constantly given in to the temptations of these Santas. So what do I do? No, I don't. I don't know. I think I'm subconsciously looking to betray the conscious self. Subconsciously, I'm setting myself up to fail. There's no question about that. Because I want to fail because I want a Santa. Because I love Santas. Don't make sense of this. People that are collectors of things will completely understand the dilemma that I'm in. If you are a collector of anything, I don't care what it is, not just Santas. I mean, I'm a collector of a lot of different things. But if you are a collector, and you know if you are or not, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm sure if you're not a collector, you go, you sound like you are certifiably out of your mind. And most collectors are, right? I mean, when you hear about some of these auctions and things, you hear about what money, some of the money that some of these things go for, your people who are not collectors go, what? You paid how much for that? But if you talk to the collector, you know what they say? I only paid blank blank for this. Completely different perspective. So collectors in the house today, you know what I'm talking about. For non-collectors, I'm sure I sound like a raving, contradictory maniac. I get it. But what can I say? So going to walk into the store, do my 4, 7, 8. And open the door. And right away, right off the bat, this store, they know what they're doing. You open the door and there's a little bell ring. Ding-a-ding-a-ding. There's the Christmas sound right already. You haven't even walked in. There's a small little vestibule before you get into the main store. But as soon as you open the outside door, a bell rings. I'm sure it's for them to have, you know, to draw attention to someone in the store or at the desk, that there's someone walking in the store. And that's great from January through October. But when it's November and December, when you open that outside door and that bell rings, boom, it throws you right into the Christmas spirit. It sounds like a Christmas bell. At least to me, it does. Now, to the non-collector, the non-crazy Santa collector, it may be that's just a warning bell to the person at the front desk. But to me, it's, oh, welcome into the Santa Wonderland. I'm already tempting you. All you've done is open the door. Come in. The Santas await. Did you hear that bell? Oh, doesn't it sound like the bell on Santa's sleigh? You know, what was that line from You Got Me at Hello from Jerry Maguire? That's what this store is like. I open the door. Ding-a-ding. Oh, boy. Here we go. Get ready. It's already tempting me. haven't even walked in the store yet. They're already creating a Christmas spirit. They're already creating a little image of Santa, the happy elf with the bells on his, you know, his coat or on his hat or certainly the bells on the reindeer. I mean, you've already got me. You're already starting. You're not even giving me a chance. Even though I know it's just a warning bell. But in November and December, it's the warning bell. It's a warning bell for me to say, Santa's await. It's not a warning bell for the workers to say, oh, by the way, a customer's coming and you might want to be aware. You know, you don't want to get ripped off or anything. That's what the bell is. But for me, it is a warning bell. It's a warning bell that, get ready, you are about to experience an onslaught of tempting Santas. That's what that bell means to me when I walk into that store. So, I'm walking in, and here we go. And right when I walk in, I mean, once again, this store, they know what they're doing. Right when I walk in, huge display, you are immediately confronted, and that's the word I will use, confronted, with a huge floor display of various Grinches, right? I don't know. Grinch has been around for 60 years, but it seems like every 4 or 5 years, the Grinch make, you know, in the Christmas cycle, it's like, okay, we haven't done Grinch. A whole new generation now has to be, introduced to the Grinch, and boom. So maybe 2024 is the year of the Grinch. I'm not sure. But of course, we know that Grinch wears that Santa clothes, that Santa outfit. And Grinch looks pretty cool with the Santa hat on, you know, and sometimes they even have him in the Santa coat. So, yeah, I've got a few Grinches, no question. Grinch ornaments, Grinch stuffed animals, no question. Grinch is definitely represented in my Santa collection, no question. Even have the book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, sitting under the tree. So, yeah, there's no question. Several of them ornaments, figures, stuffed animal, yes, all of that. But I have a lot of Grinches, so when I walk in, I'm not really tempted by the Grinch. I'm surprised at the prominence of the Grinch display. Like, wow, Grinch must be the thing they're pushing this year, because as soon as I walk in, that warning bell went off. I open the second door and I walk in, and there's Grinch. No missing them. I mean, it's there. So in 2024, for whatever reason, Grinch, I don't know if there's another Grinch movie coming out or something, but no question, at least at this store, you know, when they ordered for this year back probably a year ago, somebody decided Grinch is going to be a big deal. So there's Grinch. You know, stuffed animals, wreaths with Grinch's head, talking Grinches. Like a wreath with a talking Grinch. I have to say, there's only one Grinch voice. It's Boris Karloff. If you don't have the original Boris Karloff audio, it ain't Grinch. That's the way I look at it. I know a lot of other people have played it. Jim Carrey, Benedict Cumberbatch, others. In my world, there's only one Grinch. I know I'm old school and damn proud of it. But it's Boris Karloff. He's the Grinch voice. Even though, ironically, he's really not the Grinch voice, right? He's the narrator. But regardless. So all of a sudden, I'm confronted with Grinches, and I say to myself, okay, wow, impressive, kind of cool Grinches. There's a few cool Grinches here, a lot of different you know, formats of Grinch, stuffed, wreath, figures, things like that, mugs. But I'm like, no, I'm not. I've got enough Grinch. Grinch is well represented for in my collection. So I actually go, phew, wow, I'm going to get through the. Usually in this store, when I walk in and see that first display that's right by the front door, I usually get something from it. Because they usually have it with some Santa thing, and there's always some cool Santa thing, whether it's a big display, a small thing, whatever it is. But it's all Grinch, and I go, no, you know what? The logic, the mature side of me says, no. You have a good representation of Grinch. Your Grinch allotment is fine. And so I walk by that, not really even tempted. And I say, oh, okay. And I walk down this one aisle, and there's some Peanuts things. And I love Charlie Brown, and I love Snoopy, and I've got a lot of, you know, Peanuts Christmas-related things, too. Charlie Brown and Linus with Santa hats on, Snoopy with Santa hats on, little figurines, certainly a lot of ornaments with Charlie. I love Charlie Brown, especially the Christmas stuff. So I got a lot of that, and I go, well, you know, I got a lot of this. That's what I said. You collect a lot of stuff over the years, and you say, I've got my Charlie Brown allotment. There's younger people that don't have that, so they're recycling this stuff every 4, 5, 6 years for a new generation who's going to go out there and start stocking up to create their Christmas collections for the years to come, just like I did over the last 30 or 40 years. So I get it, but I go, no, I've got my, and some of them are pretty cool, like, oh, that's kind of neat, but no. So I'm going through, I go through the Grinch display, and I'm not really tempted. I go down this one aisle, and there's some Mickey Mouse, and once again, I love Mickey Mouse. I got a lot of Mickey Mouse-related Christmas stuff, figures, stuffed animals, ornaments, you know, Mickey with the suit on, with the hat, blah, 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 boop. But I go, no, I've got my Mickey Mouse Santa allotment as well, you know. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I've gone through, like, this big display, and I'm walking down this aisle, and I'm looking on both sides, and I'm not really tempted. So then I get to, okay, this is like the snake with the apple, you know, when Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden, right? Now we're at the tree, and this wall of Christmas ornaments is like a big apple tree that I've been told not to eat from, and in the back of my mind there is a snake that's telling me, there it is, the wall of ornaments. And don't they look tempting? So I get through that aisle and I see the wall, and it's literally a whole long wall. It's not just a little piece of half a wall. It's a whole wall with all these new 2024 Hallmark ornaments. And I'm like, oh boy. And there's even have some in another aisle, in two aisles. So they are, this is like the Hallmark ornament, you know, they got everyone. And so I'm looking through them, and I do another 4, 7, 8 breathing technology. Stay strong, Jim. You've been told not to eat from this tree. Don't listen to the serpent. And I start at one end, and I'm looking at all of them, and my eye initially goes, you know, even though there's all these different kind of ornaments with different kind of genres, I'm initially keeping my eye out for anything with a red suit or a white suit. Sometimes they have, you know, Santas in white suits, but mostly it's the red, you know, the class. That's my favorite. I don't go for those Santas with the white suit with the gold fringe. No. If I'm going to buy a Santa, it's vintage Santa. It's red. It's the red suit. Sometimes they have Santa in a green coat. No. Santa, red suit. Okay? Santa, red suit. So my eye initially, as I scan, I do an initial scan of the ornament wall at this Hallmark store for the possible Santas that may catch my eye. I'm looking for red. My eyes are tuned in for red and white. They will zip. Oh, there's one. See in the corner there? Yep. You know. And I'm looking, and of course, there they are. There's a few here. They're scattered. And I see this one, and I said, it's an interesting, but it looks, you know, it's not jumping out at me like, I have to have you. And looking over here, it's all right. And no question, it seems like at least in the Hallmark world for the ornaments, while there are still some traditional ornaments that deal with the holiday season, it seems like most of the ornaments today are very pop culture oriented, because we are a pop culture oriented society today, right? But I was really surprised as I'm looking at everything. I'm seeing cartoon characters. I'm seeing a lot of movie characters. I'm seeing or TV characters or movie characters. I mean, my gosh. Harry Potter and Christmas Vacation and, you know, just all the Star Trek things, Star Wars, a lot of pop culture, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas, a lot of pop culture-oriented ornaments with a little Christmas tinge to them, but sometimes not. Sometimes there's just, you know, there's Spider-Man. Now, I saw one this year that has Spider-Man wearing a Santa hat, but a lot of times it's just Batman. He's not Christmas-ized. He's just Batman and Robin, or the Joker, or the Penguin, you know, from the cartoon, or from the movie, or Harry Potter. There's no Christmas-sized version. It's just a recreation of a famous part of the film. I mean, I think last year they even had the sorting hat that talked, that was in a wreath. I mean, they really are aiming at pop culture references more than a lot of the traditional scenes of what you would have expected from you know, you sand, you know, snowmen, a lot more snowmen too. I'm seeing a lot more snowmen than usual. But you know, you don't see a lot of elves. Some snowmen. You'll see a lot of reindeer. And I'm looking around, and I see about four or five different Santas, but none of them are really tickling my fancy, if you will. I'm supposedly in this den of temptation, and I'm not being tempted. A, there's not a lot. I mean, as I said before, the amount of pop culture oriented, you know, sports figures as well, ornaments dominate much more than Santa. Now, there was one kind of cool one, but it was a little expensive for an ornament. Plus, it's like electric. You got to plug it in, which is always a pain. But it's kind of cool. It's Santa with a plate of cookies on his stomach, and he's sleeping. And when you turn it on, you plug it in. I don't know how you plug it in. It needs its own charger, which I don't know how the hell. Where do I plug that in for a tree? I don't know. It was a little expensive too for an ornament. These ornaments are getting very expensive too. I mean, a lot of times they're getting to be $25, $35, $45. I mean, that's a lot, I would think. Certainly more than they used to be when they were 15 or so. But it was kind of cool. There's a Santa with a plate of cookies on his stomach, and he's sleeping. And when you plug it in and turn it on, he's sleeping, and his mustache of his beard moves, and then his stomach moves up and down as he's sleeping and snoring, and the cookies go up and down kind of too. So it's kind of neat. So that was the one that caught my eye, but it was like $45, and it's not real big. It's a regular size ornament. It's like, geez. And so I was kind of, you know, my wife was like, "Oh, I love that snore." I'm like, "Yeah, it is very cool," but I, you know, overall, I was looking around at all these ornaments on this tempting wall, and I wasn't seeing a lot of Santas, and even the Santas the few that I saw in there, they weren't all that unique or tempting to me. And so I just kind of, I did my deep dive. I first I did a scan of the wall, and then I decided to take a closer look at all the ornaments and, you know, the Santas too. And I wasn't all that impressed. And I said, well, you know, because I always do this. I'm always like, well, we'll come back. Let's see what else they have. And I'm walking around the store and I'm not seeing a lot of Santa related objects. I'm seeing gnomes and I'm seeing, you know, a lot of, once again, a lot of, you know, pop culture related Christmassy things with movies related, but I don't see a lot of Santas. Last year, what they got us tempted by, what we wound up buying, was a very cool, old-looking, I mean, it wasn't 50 years old, but it had this old vintage look of an old, cool Santa. A little plate with a little cup, so you're supposed to put the cookies and your hot chocolate, you know, for Santa, you leave it out, and you put the cookies on the plate. And it was just really cool-looking. It was a nice little set. It had a vintage Santa, and I was like, oh, my God, how did we not get that? And now that's one of my favorite things. So once again, I don't have any buyer's remorse. And when I put it out this year, I'm like, oh, I love my little Santa cookie plate and mug, their little cup here. But I'm looking around, and I don't see a lot of Santas. Then I go to the Christmas card section, because when we send out Christmas cards, and I've talked about that, you know, we're still sending them out, although we have to, we're even debating whether we're going to even send out Christmas cards this year, just because I don't know how many, we're not getting all that many back. And I told you about my rule. I have to get half plus one or I don't send it out. Last year we did get more than half plus one. So we're supposed to send out Christmas cards this year, but still debating. But I'm looking to see, well, what if there, because if there's a really cool Santa Christmas card, all of our Christmas cards have Santa on them. Sometimes we do the daily double. We have one that has a Santa and a snowman. So it covers both of us because my wife likes snowmen, but there was only one card that had a Santa on it, and I wasn't all that impressed with it. And I'm looking around this whole store, this place that used to be, you know, tempting. I mean, this was the temptress, as I said before. And I'm looking around, and I'm not seeing a lot of tempting Santas. I'm not seeing a lot of Santas in general. And I'm just wondering, I mean, because, you know, from my standpoint, as I said, you know, I'm a big fan of the vintage Santas. And ironically, we have Coca-Cola. This is, like I said, Macy's ends its parade with Santa arriving. The irony is that most, it's retailers that help define our holidays, right? Because they have a stake in it. There's no question. But it's those Santas. That vintage Santa, and I have plenty of these Santa images and ornaments of a Santa drinking a Coca-Cola, because at early on in the 30s, Coke was very smart, and they entwined their brand with Santa at Christmas time, and they created this very cool vintage looking Santa. And now that Santa in many ways is the Santa that we think of, the Coca-Cola Santa. It's on bottles and cans. Now you'll see it. It'll be on commercials, even though there's a controversial AI created commercial that we may talk about as the season goes on. But Coca-Cola definitely has played a major role in solidifying the image of what we think about Santa and the entire Santa phenomenon in the 20th century, for sure, going back to the early 30s and through, you know, all the 1900s. But there's no doubt that Coca-Cola helped in the 20th century helped stamp into our culture that idea of the fat, jolly Santa with the big smile and the white beard and the kind of balding head and the big outfit. I mean, you name it. That Coca-Cola Santa is in everybody's mind Santa. And, of course, Thomas Nast is credited with really creating the modern-day illustration look of Santa. I mean, there's many fables about Saint Nick and this whole idea of Santa, most likely from, you know, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, the Clement Moore book that Thomas Nast illustrated, the first. You know, he described him as a happy elf, and Thomas Nast, this illustrator, actually a political cartoonist, around the Civil War. The funny thing is, you may not know this, once again, the Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, always here to provide you with some interesting nuggets that you can use around the holiday table, too. The original Thomas Nast illustration of Santa, as this happy, chubby elf with the pipe and the hat and the festive beard and the twinkle in his eye. That's the image of Santa. As I said, the Coca-Cola one played off of the original version that Nast drew, and Nast drew that based on the description that Clement Moore described in his book, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. But the first Thomas Nast illustration appeared in 1863, during the Civil War. So yeah, Santa's been around for a while, but not even 200 years. You know, we think of, oh, Santa. You know, it's not even 200 years. 1863. When this version of Santa that we know, that Thomas Nast really helped popularize, and he really initially appeared not so much in any kind of a Christmas-related, selling thing or portrait. He was a political cartoonist, and he put Santa into almost in a propaganda type of thing for the Union during the Civil War, that Santa arrived at a Union camp and was delivering gifts to the Union soldiers at Christmas time during the Civil War. In fact, the original Santa is sitting in this military camp, this Civil War military camp. You can look it up online. And even his outfit is striped with stars, like the flag. So Santa was initially used as a uniting figure for the Union soldiers during the Civil War. And it was through that, these were on the covers of Harper's Weekly was a big magazine at the time. And that's the first appearance of Santa. And then that became so popular that every year Harper's Weekly would have Nast do another, you know, holiday cover. And once again, up through the Civil War, Santa was pictured in these pro-Union, United States, pro-Abraham Lincoln kind of scenes promoting the Union at Christmas time, at the holidays. And but Santa was not the dominant figure. He was kind of in the corner, small. He wasn't the dominant figure. But they became so popular that all of a sudden it became a tradition. And so Thomas Nast was started to be the main, illustrator of Santa for decades. And most well-known artists, and illustrators especially, who did covers, just like Norman Rockwell did many Santa-based covers for his illustrations that appeared on another magazine, the Saturday Evening Post. So a lot of our images of Santa, once again, we think of it as this lore, but it really started either with a commercial angle, whether it was to sell a product like Coca-Cola, or it was a commercial aspect to sell a magazine like the Saturday Evening Post, or it was propaganda to sell the war and the Union during the Civil War to say, hey, Santa's on our side. But 1881 is when NAST really created the Santa that we think of today, that everyone else then has used as the prototype and then changed a little, as I said. Between Thomas NAST in the 1880s and 1890s, and then Coca-Cola in the 1930s through the 60s and 70s, they really solidified the image of Santa. So those are like my favorite Santas. But to get back to what I'm saying is, as I was looking around the store, and I'm looking around, and I didn't see a lot of Santas. I didn't see a lot of Santa ornaments. I didn't see a lot of Santa stuffed animals or stuffed figures. You know, I didn't see a lot of, you know, any really cool Santa figurines or Santa-related objects. I didn't see it. Thank God. Thank God I got it last year. I didn't see my plate and my Santa cup that we bought last year from the same store. And we walked out. We were tempted by the snoring Santa ornament. But the fact is, to make him work, you had to buy this charger for $15 extra, which would have made this entire ornament and charger, because he doesn't work without the charger, like $60. And it was cool, but I don't know if it was worth $60. Now, maybe I'm going to change my mind on December 15th. Who knows? But in early November, I still wasn't getting... I mean, believe me, if there was a cool Santa there, I don't care what the date is, I'd buy it. I bought Santas in March and saved them until Christmas time. When there's a cool Santa, I'll buy it. I don't care what year it is. But this year, I wasn't feeling like Santa was the dominant image. And I was very surprised, because this place usually has every tempting Santa you could think of. And there was basically one Santa in the store that tempted us, and we were still able to resist the temptation. There weren't a lot of Christmas cards. There weren't a lot of stuffed animals. There weren't a lot of figurines of Santa. There weren't a lot of ornaments, and the ornaments that they had were very few, and they were very basic looking. There wasn't anything overtly special about them. And I'm just wondering, and I hope it's not the case, because these are weird times, and you know, we're reassessing history now and everything. But I hope to God that Santa Claus is still cool. I hope that we're not moving away from Santa for some politically correct reason that they might have something against Santa. I'm not sure why. But I would think that even if you are in this mindset, Santa, the legend of Santa still brings magic and mystery. In today's world, we're much more literal thinking. But for little kids especially, to deprive them of that magic, and the hope and the mystery of what that's all about. I hope we're not letting our adult correctness deprive our young people, at the very least, our children, to have that same kind of special feeling that we had, that maybe some people now have lost because they're adults. But don't deprive younger people of that. Let them discover and make up their own mind. As I said, hey, I'm no spring chicken here, but I still enjoy the thought of Santa after all these years. Okay? And so I hope that we're not moving away from Santa. Somehow Santa isn't looked at as an acceptable image of Christmas anymore. Because today, in today's world especially, we need uniting kinds of symbols. And I have to hope that Santa is still one of the most uniting symbols that there are, regardless of religion. Because I don't look at Santa, I look at Santa as a secular, and I know from a religious standpoint, I understand the meaning of Christmas, even though that was applied to a pagan holiday that was celebrated long before Christianity put its tag on it. But in today's world, we need uniting kinds of moments and symbols. And I would hope that Santa can remain one of those for everybody, for the period and the season, not the religious aspects that we have put onto this holiday, but for a time for people to get together with friends and family and unite. And if this country and this world ever needs a Christmas, it's this year. So I'm hoping that we haven't given up on Santa as well, because there's something about the magic and the mystery and the optimism of Santa Claus, especially when you're a little kid, that adds so much to this season. And I hope as adults, we don't lose some of that. I've tried to take that with me. If you saw my house, you'd certainly know it. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that in 2024 and moving on, I'm hoping that Santa Claus is still cool. Ho, 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 ho. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast, we are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 444. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of my mind to your ears.